Audycja realizowana we współpracy z Centrum Zrównoważonego Rozwoju Uniwersytetu Gdańskiego.
Nie zostawiaj nikogo w tyle.
Dzień dobry, Gabriela Bączek przy mikrofonie. To jest audycja Nie zostawiaj nikogo w tyle, w której rozmawiamy na tematy dotyczące zrównoważonego rozwoju. Dzisiaj jest ze mną w studiu pan profesor Maciej Sokołowski. Dzień dobry.
Dzień dobry, kłaniam się nisko.
So, today we will be talking about energy transformation. Transition. I think we all heard the term. But if you could define it for our listeners, it would be great.
Thank you very much. Very, very good question. You said transformation, then said transition. In Polish, the language we spoke, we use one word for this two words in English. Actually, in English, transformation means something different than transition. Some say that transformation is more about technical aspects of this process, while transition is something more social. Both terms are related to reaching goals, policy goals on changing, as both transition and transformation describe this change. The process. And the process, of course, is about energy sector. The energy sector that will be non-emission or zero emission, some say. So sustainable in this way, reached by both the society and the economy and some technical options that we have on the table right now and we may have in the future. So it's a big process, but based on the change, as both of these terms describe.
There is a certain goal about energy transition, as you said, to have zero emission soon. Maybe not soon, but in the future. Do you think that this energy is progressing at a sufficient pace, fast enough to meet the European target for 2030 and 2050?
Of course, pace is important. We can always say that we can do something faster, we can do something better. But only then the past can show us the right perspective, whether the pace was fine, whether the pace was okay. Because the transition itself is not constant too. When we take a look at the goals that we have, options that appear, policy situation that change also different elements of the previous goals or previous policy agenda, we may say that some other alternatives should be included. And of course, with the help of new solutions like artificial intelligence, for instance, or a new approach to nuclear power, for instance, some of the actions can be speeded up when it comes to reaching the goal. But of course, then the thing is when we can reach the goal itself. And as I said, this processes or the pace is under the influence of different factors. And as I mentioned, some of these policy options reappear on the table and other are under some new pressures, like, for instance, what's happening right now in the Gulf or in the eastern part of Europe, I mean. So the space is under a challenge of different conditions. And of course, we could say we should move as soon as possible because it offers us also some opportunities because energy transition is also about some opportunities, including those technologies that could be developed or implemented here in Poland.
And do you think that currently what's stopping or slowing down this process is more technological issues or political regulations of certain countries?
Another very good point. When we take a look at technology itself, usually it's not a problem, although there are some circumstances. For instance, critical minerals. We could say we have technologies. But what about countries or sources of specific elements, as I said, like materials for the needs of these technologies? Or there are some issues with some partners, I would say, or stakeholders of this energy transition that are not as friendly as others in this process. I know what you... I hopefully feel that you really do understand what I mean. And being very specific, technology usually is described as the one that can be easily implemented, while we have some administrative hurdles, red tape, bureaucracy, etc., etc. And even when we take a look at AI in the US, for instance, and this cooperation or cohabitation, coexistence of the technology that appears right now at such a great pace, and the framework, legal framework in the US, when they are cutting the red tape and saying we should speed up, use the AI for the needs of energy transition, nuclear power, etc., etc. But then there are the things with critical minerals, yes? So technology has also its own stops. When we have a solo provider of something like chips, for instance, and or the issues related to recycling of wind turbines or PV panels and so on. So also environmental problems. So it's not so easy in this way that we can say, okay, let's change the law, for instance. Of course, legislation can also stop processes. And creating it in the way that helps energy transition is very supportive. But these are kind of cliches, big words, easy to be said in such interviews. But the life can be more complicated. And that's why we need a kind of smart approach to it that balances all those circumstances, like efficiency, environmental issues, security, that's very important, and also observation of this real world, where, as I said at the very beginning, the entourage or this kind of environment in or social or political arena in which the energy transition is discussed is changing a lot. Just take a look at the US, just take a look at China, and then the Europe between.
You have started a very interesting topic of artificial intelligence. We'll move on to it in a second. But I wanted to ask, how is Poland looking at the energy transition case?
Poland is G20 right now. We entered the billionaire club. Has its own position in this race or in this process, as we said, energy transition. We used to use a lot of coal in power sector, especially, but this changed a lot. And again, using kind of coal stereotype only, it's not fair. Of course, still coal is an element of Polish energy mix, but we can't compare 2026 with 2000 and etc. And the new sources have appeared during these decades in Poland. We are not only talking, but we are developing this technology, like offshore, for instance, here in the north, in Gdańsk. We will have this new industry quite soon for the needs of energy sector. And also for the needs of blue collars and the local jobs in the offshore industry too. And Poland has a very ambitious program on nuclear power, almost 4 gigawatts of power installed here in the north of Poland, while all the major energy sources are now in the southern part of the country. So this energy transition or this Polish plan for the future of the energy sector, power sector, means reshaping the geographical structure of the country when in the next decade and earlier, taking into account the offshore sources, new very important elements of energy mix will appear in the north. So it's also a changing of this orientation, which does not happen quite often when it comes to energy transition. So it's another interesting element of this aspect. We have a PV boom in Poland. Solar energy has become very obvious, I would say, to Polish people. For sure, many of your friends, colleagues, maybe parents or their friends or etc. and relatives have PV panels on their roofs.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, sure. So it's something very obvious right now. We have electric vehicles too in Poland, energy storage, and this builds also resilience, energy security. We have a war on the east, close to the Polish border. So building this kind of strong energy facilities, communities, I would say too, is an important element of the bigger picture, also related to energy transition in Poland.
All right, we'll come back after a quick break.
Nie zostawiaj nikogo w tyle.
To jest audycja Nie zostawiaj nikogo w tyle. Gabriela Bączek przy mikrofonie. Ze mną w studiu pan profesor Maciej Sokołowski. We are talking about energy transition, and before the break you spoke about artificial intelligence. Can it be used to support this energy transition process?
Definitely, definitely. AI is very useful for the needs of many elements related to energy transition, transformation, energy security, to operation of energy facilities, planning, modeling, enhancing energy efficiency, operation of renewable energy sources or nuclear power. And these are, of course, LLMs, any chatbots or virtual assistants for the people who work in energy sector or even policymakers. And this really change the perspective of many elements of our everyday life. And in the same way, it has been influencing the energy sector and will be influencing the energy sector, even in the higher degree, I would say.
So can the application of artificial intelligence in this field be effective enough to justify the water and energy costs it generates? Can it pay off in the future?
Yes. When you take a look at the AI, of course, each click, each prompt, I would say, has an impact on energy sector. It's quite obvious these devices use energy, electricity. They also use water for the instance of cooling all the facilities, or the cloud is the servers and et cetera. Also production of chips and all this devices has the environmental cost, I would say. So sustainability should be included in this agenda. But I really do believe that there are many positive aspects of this digital transition that is a shadow of energy transition or follows it, or it's a very interesting shadow, because sometimes the shadow is also ahead, is forward. But if we take a look at the shadow, it can also be ahead of us. So in this way, AI has this kind of capabilities, and I really do believe that we should, as mankind or economists too, societies, develop AI in this sustainable way. Of course, if it's possible to those extents, because otherwise we can create a new problem with the devices, AI, but also robotics. AI is not only, for instance, in Japan, AI is not only the digital world, which is very important, but also the physical world, robots. Yeah, robots is energy. Yeah. And we should, or have many elements that are also produced in the factories, robot factories, like Boston Dynamics, for instance, yes, or any other, yeah? And we should create both those factories and these devices in the sustainable way. And the sustainability also means using the critical minerals in the way that is sustainable, but also smart, so means secure. Secure in terms of economy and then the energy, of course. Maybe recycling can be an interesting approach to it, but not only in the way that it treats sustainability, but when it enhances our capacities to obtain the critical minerals.
So what risks might the implementation of AI in the energy sector create in terms of even the digital safety?
Yeah, sure. Black box, for instance. We don't know who wrote this, simply saying. Of course, it is based on those materials that are online, yeah. Machine learning, yeah. Each prompt makes AI smarter. Yeah. But still, these are models operated overseas, somewhere else, not in the country. We have in Poland here too some local LLMs that are co-sponsored, developed by the government or some freelancers, etc. So this is also important to create it locally, kind of this AI local content. I may say, so it can be an opportunity too. But those risks, as I said, are related to security of data, processing of this data, and then those decisions made by AI or supported, or those that support human or even operator when it comes to energy operator, for instance, and so on. So we must take care of it. And then there are different ways of doing it. Regulatory approach is the one, but we see some tensions with those big techs and their supporters, and then the governments trying to regulate them. Let's say those wind of policies or politics sometimes blow in different direction than the will of some governments, societies, and the end users of the solutions.
So, in the end, do you consider this more of a chance or more of a risk? Are you do you have a positive approach to this, both digital and energy transition together?
I think that the positive scenario will always prevail. Thank you.
Thank you for being with me. Audycja realizowana we współpracy z Centrum Zrównoważonego Rozwoju Uniwersytetu Gdańskiego.
Nie zostawiaj nikogo w tyle.